Dungeons and Dragons will begin in a moment. Now for our take an ad, leave an ad segment. We hope you find something that works for you.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
There's the sound of scuffling around. There's moving of boxes. There's some digging in the ground. And Tally walks up to Aladdin and says, "So, what happens if we find these tunnels?"
What do you mean, what happens if we find the tunnels?
Well, everybody's asking questions, right, everybody? Like, we've got, like, if we find the tunnels, like, they were, like, Kinney's guys probably have, like, a plan for what these tunnels are. If they're looking for tunnels, what's our plan for the tunnels? Like, are we going to tell them? Or are we going to...
Do we live in the tunnels now?
Oh, we can live in the tunnels.
Oh, my God. No, we don't live in the tunnels. Listen, guys, having the tunnel information gives us leverage.
Leverage against who?
Not against anybody. It's just we have wants and needs.
Wait, what's leverage?
That is when you can use something that you have or you know to your advantage against someone else to get something you want.
What do we want?
Food.
Treasure?
Treasure. Oh. Well, I mean,
what if there's treasure in them tunnels?
I would love to, like, not live in this place.
So you want to live in the tunnels?
Because we're going to live in the tunnels with the treasure?
Ugh, guys. Okay, so if we know where these tunnels are, we can use them if we want to get around, to go different places in the city where we're like, maybe we're not so really welcome. And also, then if we know this and Kinney's men are desperate, maybe we can tell them for a price.
Oh.
Huh? You see?
Then we get the treasure.
Maybe. Maybe it's a real house.
There's a house in the tunnels?
Maybe it's consistent food. Tally, I can't with you right now.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons, a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, he, him. And Dungeons & Dragons stars Amy Moore as Aladdin, she, her.
Again, never specified to dig, necessarily.
Tom Laird as Kevlarin Goldweave, he, him.
We could just dip out 5 minutes early.
And Carla Maxted as Bonwyn Everbane, she, her.
I don't know if you're angling for me to pay for you to have a special visit when we get to the Quivering Hills, but I did just say dinner and drinks are on me.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production that's supported by our patrons. Visit us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And now, it's adventure time, baby! Fuck it! Let's play!
We hear the sound of a door closing, and Kevlarin, you walk back into your office, and Oak is finishing up some paperwork for the day. It's nearly time to punch the clock, so to speak. He turns and looks and says, "I'm just about done. We've got 18 more papers to file, and we can probably do it if we both put our heads down, within the next 5 minutes. What do you say?"
I mean, that does sound like a plan.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we could just dip out 5 minutes early.
Dip out 5 minutes early.
Yeah, just close the door and do this tomorrow.
But Nina said that they were due by the end of the day today, and that I would just be really uncomfortable, and I want to get the most out of boys' night, and if we gotta do papers.
So you're telling me that you won't be able to stop thinking about these papers if they're not done before the end of the
day.
Well,
just look at these papers. Like, look, this one, cat in tree. We need to file that one. Look, taxes yep. raising
again. I mean,
what
again. Department does that even get filed in?
That's going to get filed in the cat and tree department. We have a department for it.
There's a whole department for cat and tree?
Fully staffed with 8 people.
I mean, well, right away, it feels like that's maybe a few too many people, like 6 too many people.
This place has so many cats and so many trees that they're constantly just up there. If we didn't have a full department, the backlog in what would we even put it into? Like some sort of animal resources? Like, that's not even reasonable.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We will buckle down.
Okay.
Get this paperwork done.
Great.
So you can come and enjoy boys' night with me and Bench at the Brood Awakening.
Oh, okay. Great. I can't wait. Like, Bench hasn't really wanted to hang out with me ever, and he's going back to scribbling on the papers and hands you a stack. He's only handed you 2, and he has the rest of them. What do you think Bench is going to be serving up tonight? And I know that they're closed, so, like, this is like a friend's thing, right? This isn't, like, we're not paying for this. This isn't, like, a health and safety thing that we got to worry about.
No. This is just total hangout
okay,
time.
Great. I've been waiting for hangout time. So, I'm done.
Okay.
Did you do your 2?
I did a pretty good job on them, I think. I'd love to roll... like some sort of persuasion role.
Are you trying to persuade or are you trying to deceive?
I guess I'm trying to persuade him that I did a great job, even though, like, let's be honest, I probably
did.
So
you're trying to deceive?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, so roll deception.
Guess it just depends on which side of the coin you look at here. That's a 9.
Look, I can see you really want to go out to boys' night. We'll save these 2 for the morning, and you can redo them in the morning, okay? Because I can see right now that you haven't put down the proper forwarding address.
No, you don't have to look any closer. It's fine.
Okay. It's over your shoulder. Okay. Anyway, I'll file these ones on the way out, and we'll be on our way. Boys' night! We hear the sound of a carriage rolling by Everbane's, and inside, Bonwin, you have finished the Estral Blade for your client, Milord Ignatius, and are packaging it up for delivery. Niven has stopped by at the end of the day just to kind of hang out, and as they sometimes do, and come along with you on this delivery. So that's a really cool blade. Like, how much did that one cost?
Oh, I mean, rude.
Let's just say,
a lot. How about dinner and drinks are on me after we make the delivery?
Oh, jeez. Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah, it's a good one, but I mean, not to brag, but look at it. It's gorgeous. So, such a fine point. I want to dare you to touch it, but I don't because it will cut you.
Thanks for the warning.
But look at, I mean, jewels in the hilt. It's gorgeous and deadly. And here, take it. Take it just by the handle. Feel how light it is.
That's so light. It's like, look at the balance on that. I don't know. That's what people say when they pick up blades.
I mean,
but like, if I put my finger there.
Exactly. You can just.
Barely moves. Nice work.
So you brought the silk, perfect green,
Ignatius.
Yeah. You know, Ignatius is always like head to toe green. It's kind of his cool signature look. So, I've carved a perfect box, so it just will set in there nicely. The blade won't touch. And then I'll close that up and, of course, wrap it in the silk. And with that ribbon, can you pass me that?
Yeah, here you go.
Perfect. And then we tie it. And then, as always, he'll just pull it, and it will sort of drift down slowly and go... And that box will kind of open up, wow. And the blade will present itself. And, I mean, you know, that's why I can pay for dinner and drinks tonight, because this isn't cheap.
Because this sounds rather sexual in nature, is what it does. I mean, he's going to be on board with it. I mean, Ignatius runs the brothel, so it's it all just makes perfect sense.
Yeah. It's, I mean, the classy brothel.
Of course, yeah, the Quivering
right.
Hills.
I mean... I think I'm good. I'm ready. Let's get in the carriage. We'll head across the bridge, go to the Quivering Hills, drop this off, take in the sights, maybe, if you're interested, and then dinner and drinks wherever you want to go.
Love
Your
it.
Choice.
Okay. The two of you grab the bag and lock the door behind, or is it like an open? We haven't described it.
I have an office and workshop kind of within the more open forge, so that's where we would be doing this. So I would, like, close and lock the door behind me, because I have a safe where I keep, you know, the jewels and the estrel and the money and all that stuff. But otherwise, it is kind of more open concept because of all the heat and, yeah, the forges and whatnot, so Thane can kind of... wander freely everywhere else.
Awesome. And as you lock it and you're heading back out, Thane, who's working on something, kind of catches you over their shoulder and says, all right, I'll lock up tonight. I'll close everything down. You have a great one, okay?
Yeah, just heading to the Quivering Hills. See you later.
Don't have too much fun.
I give him a big wink.
I think we've looked everywhere. Have you found anything yet, Aladdin?
No, but I mean, this place is big, and let's face it, those two over there have been, like, digging in each other's spots the entire time.
Get out of my way.
No, get out of my way. I was looking here first.
Well, if we look here together, we'll just dig us twice as fast. Maybe we'll dig deep enough that the tunnels will make the tunnels.
Oh, we could build our own tunnels.
We could build our own tunnels. Aladdin seems really excited about tunnels.
Aladdin, don't look over here. Well, we almost found the tunnel.
We have a surprise, but not now. Don't worry about it. We'll tell you later.
I see what you mean. Okay, so where have you been looking?
Well, if I was going to hide secret tunnels, there would probably be some kind of a trap door. Oh. So I appreciate, like, how hard they're working over there with their spoons and stuff, but... we shouldn't have to dig down too far. Look, help me move these big crates, because I feel like, wouldn't you put a big crate on top of something that you don't want anyone to see?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here I come. You want to roll a strength check with advantage, because... hold on. I'll tell you if it's with advantage. It is not with advantage.
6. Nope. 4. I'm a child.
Everybody, we're going to need a hand. I just don't think we can get this. Everybody come over here. Help us move this crate, okay?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, here I come.
Pull like you've got purpose. Come on.
All right. Now roll with advantage because you have 8 kids.
It's an 11 and a 3. 11.
The group of these children all pile on. At first, kind of all pile around all sides and are all pushing in. Are we doing it?
No.
Did it move?
No, guys, we got to pick a direction. Like, pull toward me. You guys on that side, you push. You don't pull.
Okay.
We want it to go this way.
Got it. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. 3.
Ready?
2. 1. And then you hear the crate sliding. And as it clears, there is a wooden panel underneath.
Well, flip my pancake, Tally. You see that?
Oh, yes.
That's no dirt floor.
This is under the crate where we've been standing this whole time. We've been digging for what seems like all day.
Yeah. I again, never specified to dig, necessarily.
How else are you going to find tunnels in the ground, Aladdin?
We moved a box that was sitting on top of a trap door, Tally.
All right. Well, that's why you make the big bucks around here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can we see what's inside? Can you lift it? What's in there? Is it treasure?
Yeah, can we go in?
Is it food? Is it treasure?
Okay, listen. You guys have to stay here. Tally, help me open this up.
Okay, yeah. We've already shown that I'm very strong. I can help with this.
It is a trap door. It is a piece of wood.
Well, is it a trap?
Wait, is there like a code word or anything that you want to yell as a warning if someone's coming?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, should we stick with the barn animal noises that we had them doing earlier? Like the birds?
Yeah, but don't be so realistic this time, okay?
Yeah, give us an example.
Okay.
So like a...
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I like
maybe
that
a combination of them.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. And do it loud, yeah. Though, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that Aladdin has probably snooped enough to check for a simple trap of some kind before just pulling it open.
You want to make an investigation roll then?
Yes. All right, hold on, Tally. I just want to check this out.
I'll wait for your go.
16. 15. I know how to count.
You look, and at first glance, there's nothing that appears to be protruding or any locking mechanism. You run your hands along the side and you're able to find the perimeter, which has been like covered over with dirt. It doesn't look to you that there is any trap that is going to be of danger to you in just lifting this panel.
Okay. Hey, remember that time that we lifted the chest from Sir Wrinklebottom's door?
Yeah.
And all that gross smell and smoke stuff came out?
Yeah, that wasn't very good.
Okay. So it didn't look like the gross smoke and stuff was going to come out, but it did. So it could be like that. So here's what we got to do. You guys go further back. Tally, we're going to do like a lift and flip for
lift
the lid.
Flip.
The lift and flip. And then we're going to run in the other direction. So it's going to be a flip and then a run.
And then a run.
Yes.
Lift, run.
Yeah,
lift,
but we have to lift and it run. And we got to flip it all the way off.
All the way off. Okay. Here we go.
Okay, you got this?
Got it. All lift. Right. Lift with our
flip.
Legs.
Lift, flip, run.
3, 2, 1. Door flips. Both of you run back. There's this like almost vacuum effect of dust that is plumed out of the hole that you've revealed. You can't see inside it. You are all huddled behind some crates on the other side of the room. You look and you see this dust settle back down. Nothing's coming out of it, but you can't see down into from the position that you're in.
It doesn't smell like that gross smoke.
No, it just smells like the warehouse. A little stale.
All right. I'm going to go take a look. Okay. I creep quietly.
You make it to the edge and you look down and it's very dark in this hold that opens up into. Looks, at first glance, looks kind of like a cold cellar. It goes down a few feet with a little bit of a ladder and then opens up into a much larger room that you can't get the full scope of without going down the stairs. You do have visibility on a couple crates that are open down in the bottom. You don't see anything of real value inside. There's some burlap sacks kind of piled up in one area that you have visibility on. But if you want to see the rest of the room, you'd have to go down the ladder.
Okay, guys, it's really dark down there.
Yeah, it looks kind of scary.
I do see some sacks. They look empty, but they definitely look cozier than what we've got. So that's a plus. Already, this was a great idea.
Yeah, that's going to be great for the cold nights, which are coming pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. So yet again, I've saved us. I guess, like, let's go down there. Not you guys. Tally.
Okay.
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 So Tally and I are going to go down.
Okay. You Benson, guys, you're in charge.
I don't know if that's a great idea, but okay.
Benson.
Yeah. Well, Benson's next in line. Like, it's just how it happens. Apes nuts, Benson. Just keep it together for like 5 minutes. We're just going to go down and have a look.
Okay. We'll have the bird calls on ready.
All right.
You going down first or second?
I'm going down first.
All right.
Your footsteps on the ladder as you're making your way down, and it's a, you know, 10 rungs down by the time you get to the bottom. Like the ceiling of this hold is pretty low. It's only about 6 feet, so you don't have to duck or anything, but there's not much room to jump, or for somebody taller, it's not much room to move around. You get down, everybody has dark vision. Yes, I'm pretty sure half elves do, dwarves do. So you're able to see down here once you come down, your eyes adjust just a little bit. And there are, like, the room is lined with shelves and crates, and it looks like it was at one point used as a food storage room. You don't see any egress from this room, but the walls are themselves lined with crates, some of them stacked almost to the ceiling. Tally comes down behind you and is kind of feeling around and catches your back. And anything that we got to worry about? It's pretty quiet.
Yeah, it just looks like an old cellar.
Tally goes and moves and picks up some of the jars. Some of these are still sealed. Like, there's food inside of some of these.
How do you know it's food?
Well, I can see inside this one. It looks like pickles.
Okay, well, fair. There's some of these, though, that are in those dark jars. You got to be careful. Why don't you start handing food up?
Okay.
Actually, no, wait.
Okay.
We're the only people who know about this place.
Yeah.
Then this is the safest place to keep it. Put it back. Don't drop it.
Okay. Slowly puts it back on the shelf, places it down. I did it.
Yeah, I saw that, Tally. Good job. Okay, help me look through some of these crates. Like, it is floor to ceiling crates in here. There's got to be some good stuff that we could sell or barter with, or maybe even find another door or tunnel.
Wow. Okay. The two of you begin trying to lift the lids off of some of these crates, and many of them are hammered down pretty tight. When you hear from up above,
oh,
that's the code. Everybody be quiet. It's just you and me. Do we go up? Do we stay here? We didn't talk about what happens when they say the thing.
I quickly, like, climb up the ladder and say, put the lid on, put the lid on.
Three of the kids run over and are dragging the lid back over the tunnel with you inside of it.
Yep.
Great.
I'm a child.
And then you hear footsteps flee off as you are plunged into darkness.
As I slide it on, I go, hide, 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 hide.
They scatter in the room. Kevlarin and Oak, you're making your way back to the Brood Awakening, and Oak has been talking your ear off the entire way, and it's like, Kevlarin, I've been really just thinking that we would be perfect friends ever since you stepped foot into the offices. I just can't believe we haven't had this opportunity since you've been here. Like, it's been several weeks.
Yeah, you know,
last person who was here, like, I just hung out with them immediately, and then they were gone the next week, but...
Turns out, I've just had a super busy... social life since coming here.
Oh yeah. No, that's good that you're integrated into the community. That's a great thing. I'm just glad to be part of it now.
Nice to finally, like, do this. It's long overdue.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, we know each other as business professionals, but now we get to know each other when we really cut loose, if you know what I mean.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. You ready for this?
Ready. So ready. I've been prepping all day. Haven't eaten a single thing.
Wait, were you pre-gaming?
Well, no. It's like, I just, know that Bench really makes good food, so I just haven't been eating a lot, knowing that, you know, there's probably going to be some good grub, so makes it left some room.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if there's actually going to be any food, because, like, the kitchen shut down. It's part of the business license,
Yeah.
I think it's just going to be, like, drinks and bar snacks.
Great, then I've been preparing all day to get totally wasted. That's what we're doing, right?
I mean, it seems like that might be it, yeah. But don't worry, I'll hold your hair if need be.
Oh, thank you, Kevlarin. I really should have thought this one through. Shutting down the restaurant probably wasn't the best idea for this, but that's okay. Street vendors will be out not too long, and then we can get some food if we need it.
Absolutely.
You round the corner and you see the Brood Awakening with a clothes sign and every other window's boarded up. He's waiting for us, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's there. You just got to do the secret knock.
I don't know the secret knock.
All right. Well, watch close.
Okay. Wow. That's a good knock.
Did you get it? Do you need to see it again?
If I could see it again, that would be great. That's it.
That's the one.
Yeah. So, like this?
We'll work on it.
Okay.
Some more.
Okay. As the door swings open, Bench is inside. He has colored sconces all over the walls, which is what he does when it's a big party night. But he's done so for the festivities here, and he's flexing as he opens the door, which he always does.
Ah, come on in, get down, get under the tables, so that the
under the table.
Well, that's where the party starts.
Okay, let's do it.
Get under the table. That way, you don't end the night under the table.
Oak, bench, Oak. I don't know if you've met each other.
Oh, we've seen each other around. You came and shot me down last week.
Oak, you did it personally?
I did do that. Well, I came along with the group just to make sure that it was delivered and done properly. And I apologize for that. Taxes. It's what the city runs on, and you gotta keep up with them. But we're not here to talk about business, are we?
I sure hope not.
No, we're not talking about business here. Let me go get you some drinks.
He goes behind the bar and says, what do you
have?
Oak, what do you normally order?
Oh, I normally have something fruity with a little twist.
Sure, yeah.
You got a pomegranate?
Bench, do you have something fruity with a twist that would work well for Oak here?
Oak and the fruity twist. Yeah. I just with the hard liquor is what we'll serve you up here. This one, it has a squeeze of orange in it, and it's just straight whiskey.
Oh, that sounds really good. Is everybody else going to have one?
Yeah, I mean, one of those sounds just dandy.
Fantastic. Everybody gets their drinks, and goes,
all right, everybody, to a great boys' night. on the count of three, we're doing a lot of counting this episode. Cheers!
And everybody puts their drinks back. Make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, boy.
Lightweight?
After bonus, that is a 7.
Oh, wow. Kevlarin does not hold his liquor.
Come on, Kevlarin.
I mean, maybe not when it comes to brandy. He might be more of a, ale type.
Let's say you make your first few with advantage, because likely he's not going to serve you the exact same thing as he's serving Oak.
Wait. You also ate ahead of
you
time?
You did.
I did?
Yeah.
That's a 19.
Okay. You take these drinks, and they're pretty strong, but you're able to hold them, and Oak is like, whoa, that's something I...
Yeah, I think...
It really burns on the way down.
He used it as a paint thinner last time he redid the place, so...
Yeah, no, definitely tells. I loved the orange, the florals in my nose. Another one!
Oh, wow.
It's the middle.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. Hope you're having a great day.
I love these pauses.
You hope we're having a great day? Or the listener? You know what? Me too.
Hope everybody's having a great day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Proxy for the listener.
Yeah. I'm not greedy with the great days. Everyone can have them.
No. That's everyone right. could have a great day.
We're in episode 3. We're 3 episodes deep in this new season, and we're just loving it.
We do.
And we hope you are too.
Yeah, figuring out these new characters is fun.
Yeah, it's been really cool. And seeing like the lovely things people have been saying on the Discord is really, really, really nice.
People are nice. If you're not on that Discord, get on over there. Like, just come. Even if you don't do Discord.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know what I'm talking about.
It's just happiness.
This is just like a chat community. Yeah. Come join us. Everyone's very nice.
Absolutely. As a former person who didn't do Discord and was like terrified when Russ was like, hey, we need a Discord. It's really easy to pick up.
So there is a link down in the description of this episode and probably many of them, but it's a link tree and it'll say you take you to another page and then it'll take you to Discord. And then you'll have to, if you're new to Discord, you sign up for an account. And if you're not new, then it'll just bring you in. You know what we're talking about.
And it is free.
It's free to come in. One concern that many people have is that spoilers, because they're not caught up. So maybe you're listening to season three now, but you're still catching up on season one or season two. We contain as much as we can to some certain spoiler channels, so you can mute those and you don't see anything until you're all nice and caught up.
Our listeners are super respectful of that too. Like, I don't
to
see
be honest,
much
there's not a lot of talk about
cross-talk.
This business on. We're talking about pets. We're posting pictures of food.
Oh, yeah.
There's tattoos.
Plants.
People talking about music. Other podcast recommendations.
Yeah.
It's just like a bunch of nice people you can talk to about this show or not.
People getting together,
exactly,
playing their own games.
We're just the catalyst that brings
that's
you
right
all together. And now there's this awesome community. Yeah. So that's what's happening over there. Hey, since we're three episodes deep, we've forgotten to do something that we did every single friggin' episode.
Yep. Hundreds of
and
episodes
then we just
for literally
didn't do
hundreds
it
of episodes.
Slight change to format and our brains fall out.
That's it.
So we are a Patreon-supported show. And you can join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And when you are a patron, you maybe get an episode dedicated.
If you remember, we'll be back on it.
Missed a couple.
It's just been a bit.
So today's episode is dedicated to one of our patrons, Perry Mady.
You're awesome.
The best.
That's all I got. You're amazing.
The best.
Thank you.
Perry Mady is the username, so that's what we go by. But that's our good friend Sam, who we play Game Time with quite a lot, and they've just had a big event in their life,
and
we got to celebrate it with them. So thank you for being here, Sam.
We love you, Sam.
Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragon. I'm being cagey about it because I don't know if they want to spill the beans.
Exactly. We knew what was going on.
Maybe next week we'll get to spill the beans. Let us know. Okay. That's all we've got for now. Join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We love you all. Have a great week. And we'll talk to you soon.
Love you. Bye.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Bonwin and Neven, you've made your way across the bridge into the noble district, and the Quivering Hills are located on the far side of the noble district. So you make your way through, I don't know how often you come over here. I guess I can leave that up to you.
Probably just for deliveries. Or I guess I would probably have some clients that would request me to come and plan what they're rather than them coming to me. So, but only for that. I don't hang out on this side of the river.
The two of you are walking through and making your way to the Quivering Hills, and Neven taps your shoulder and God, the level of rich bitch mentality over here, right?
Well, I mean, I wasn't gonna say it in your company.
Like, it's not it's not exactly me. You know that, right?
Like every time you look in the mirror, you mean?
yeah, okay.
I'm just kidding. You're lovely.
Yeah, but I mean,
many people on this side of the river are lovely.
They are that. That's true. Like, everybody's just trying to do their best. But, like, the different... What I see here is, like, there's so much more... There's so much more fun and joy when I come visit you. Here, it's like everybody's competing.
Yeah, it's definitely a different vibe than the hot block, where it's, like, loud and noisy and colorful and bright. And here, it's very... That's very calm.
Very clean cut.
People want to be dignified, yeah. And there's sort of no soul.
No.
Yeah. Again, present company
included. Of course. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for saying.
You're the best.
No, it didn't. I wasn't digging for compliments or anything, but I just, you know, wanted to say that, like, this, I'd throw it all away, you know?
I don't know if you're angling for me to pay for you to have a special visit when we get to the Quivering Hills, but I did just say dinner and drinks
are on me.
That's
true. That's true.
So,
yeah, fair enough.
I made a nice try.
Gotta try a little bit, don't you? You round the corner and nestled into the Foison Hills is the Quivering Hills, which is a very large building by comparison to everything around it, which is saying something because there are several story homes and businesses that are a little more unusual in than the Artisan District and where you mostly spend your time. It's not like a steady stream of people, but there are a few people going in, a couple people coming out, and as you make your way up these grand staircases, everything does have a grand staircase on this side. That's just...
I'm imagining it like a manor.
Yeah,
kind
exactly.
of deal. Like,
yeah.
It's not like a business. Like, it's not a building.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
like a manor.
Yeah, totally. Pillars, grand staircase. It's
the
like...
fanciest of brothels.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Upscale.
You make your way up to the front entrance, and there is, of course, a couple bouncers standing outside, and they look down at you. They're hulkingly tall men in very clean-cut blazers, and they look down at you and say, do you have an appointment?
Hey, boys. Yeah, I need to see Ignatius.
Bonwin, he's waiting for you. Yeah, straight in, up the stairs. You know where his office is, right?
Of course. Yeah, you bet. And she's with me, so.
Tag along. That's fine. They open the door for you, and inside everybody's in very luxurious satin robes. There are candles along the walls. There's a chocolate fountain in the middle of the room, because that feels luxurious, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Nothing screams class like a chocolate fountain.
It's weird how... like many brothels I've seen in shows. Like, I have such a clear
Absolutely.
Vision in my mind of like velvet it's and like chaise longues and half naked men and women.
Moulin Rouge, yeah. Yep. Kind of like.
Yes, yes, exactly. And yep. And I imagine because this is like the fanciest brothel, we're going to see like all different types of not just dwarves and elves and half elves. Like, this is, there are. You know, dragonborn and yes. sort of more exotic, something for everyone's taste.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All of that. And you make your way up, you know, just observing the surroundings, perhaps even a little bit more than yourself. And you make your way up the stairs and to the office door of Ignatius, which is at present time closed.
Well, I'll just knock. Barge in. Who knows what's going on in there?
Yes, just a second.
You hear a scuffling of papers and a buckling of pants.
Hey, Neven.
Yeah?
No matter what you see in there, do not laugh.
Okay.
I mean it. I mean it.
Okay.
This is a very important client for me.
Of course.
Me.
Why?
If you don't think
I
you
laugh?
Can handle, you... I'm just
okay.
saying. Okay. Thank
Got
you.
It. Yeah. Okay. And the door swings open to where you see before you Ignatius. What does Ignatius look like, Carla?
Well, as mentioned, Ignatius is dressed all in green. And you would think that if you were going to go for that cohesive of a color scheme, it would all match. But it's somehow all weirdly different shades of green that do not match. But all very high quality and like quite ostentatious. He is an elf. So tall, slender, dark hair, blue eyes, and, you know, looks middle aged. But he's an elf, so that could mean anything. Should look elegant. Based on the quality and cut of the clothing, but Bonwin suspects he's colorblind, so he just picks all green so it matches, but he doesn't understand that there are different colors of green, so it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a constitution saving throw for your friend, who lets out like a...
And I turn and I'm like, just really...
Can she turn it into a cough?
Bond would slap her on the back harder than necessary.
Everything's green. Like, floor to ceiling.
This is lovely. Sorry. Just a little tickle in the throat. I'll just keep to myself.
There's a washroom down the hall, even if you need to.
I will excuse myself for just a moment.
Great.
And they excuse themselves to go use the washroom, in which Ignatius lets you in. And two well-dressed people, one male, one female, leave as you enter. Says, yes, come on in, Bonwin. A little early for the delivery. Is everything go okay?
It is truly the most beautiful thing I've ever made. I think you're going to be really pleased.
He says, bring it in, put it on the desk. Okay. Walks behind the desk, and as you enter, of course everything is green, but like the room, as you recall it, is like overflowing with very exquisitely put together books. There's gold coins piling up out of drawers and on top of desks. There's a huge chandelier in the middle of this room that is completely made of gold and gem and jewels. Like, the room itself is just one of the most exquisite places that you feel like you've ever been. I can't wait. I've been waiting for this for so long. Let me see.
Please. And I sort of clear a spot, and then I step back and say, just tug on that little ribbon there, and...
He pulls the ribbon.
And the silks sort of float away, and the box kind of opens itself. You hear a gear move, and it goes like, and it opens. And there's the blade.
My goodness, it's better than I could have thought. And this was used with the Estril, yes?
Yes, I won't guarantee it won't break, but I basically guarantee it won't break under normal use. It definitely will not break. And I don't want to encourage any violence.
Of course not.
But normal use with this could entail a lot of things. It's very... please don't touch the blade. And of course, free sharpening included for life. So just get someone to send it to the shop and we'll get it sharpened up. But it's going to hold an edge for a long time. And please pick it up. See how it feels.
Grabs hold of the handle and... holds it steady. It's perfect. The weight is just immaculate. And he starts just waving it around in front of him. Just like this, yes? I haven't done much in sword, but I knew that I needed one, and this was the one that I needed. Oh my goodness. He continues just walking around the room, parrying and jumping towards the wall and the sconces, and gets it wrapped up in one of the large tapestries that are hanging on the wall.
Please allow me.
Perhaps I need to take a lesson or two.
Yes, I mean, if you need the name of a sword master, I of course know many. You could just maybe train with something less sharp.
Of course. I will go down to the sword master and have them give me a lesson or two before I head out on an adventure of sorts, which I do have coming up here not too long from now, which is why I needed this.
Do you?
Yes.
What kind of adventure are you going on?
There's apparently, rumor has it, up in the Mee Mountains, a bit of a treasure hoard, which is rumored to be stashed by one of the pirating groups.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So heading out in the next couple days, I'll take in a few lessons, recruit a few people to come help me, and then just see how it goes. That's what the adventuring ways do. Adventurers do. That's what I hear anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I see quite a few in my shop, and they're always just very, just out for a good time.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah.
The adventuring life. Break out of these four walls, am I right? You hear a clearing of a throat behind you, and you turn and you see Nevin's. Everything done in here?
Oh, yes, I think so, Ignatius. You're happy?
Yes, totally happy. And he swings the sword again and nicks his fingers. Like, son of... That was on me. That was on me.
And maybe while he's doing that, I am going to pocket a few of those kind of loose gold coins because he's not going to notice.
Sure. Sleight of hand with advantage. I think this is your first roll.
It is. That's a 16.
Perfect. Yeah, you're able to grab when I say they're literally like rolling out of drawers, like you can grab a handful or two if you wanted to, and you manage while he's trying to wrap up a piece of fabric around his hand to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, and he's using that silk that was really gorgeous and expensive and important. Yes, so. Yeah.
This will stem the bleeding. Yes, everything's fine in here. I'll have somebody look at this in a moment. That was totally on me. No worries. Not going to take any sort of legal action against you, Bonwin. We need to make sure that you're making all the best weapons for my new adventuring party.
That's right. I mean, it is now your sword and your hand and your establishment.
Yes,
so,
yes, of course.
I can send the doctor up on my way out, the house physician.
Good idea. Yes, I'm going to put this down here. I'm getting a little lightheaded, and he sits down behind his desk. Let yourselves out. Yes, please send the medical professionals up. I won't move a muscle. I'll be right here. Two of you walk back down the stairs, where you're able to flag a doctor.
Yeah, I assume most of the finer sex work establishments would have an on-staff doctor, so I'll send them up to tend to Ignatius. And when we're leaving, I'm going to give those gold coins to the two guys working the door.
Sure, yeah. All done in there?
Oh, yeah, you bet. Here, I got a little something for you. You're working hard out here. It's going to get cold tonight, probably something to keep you warm. Treat yourself to a warm mug of ale.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, Bonwin. Yeah, come anytime. You know, you're not around here very often, but I appreciate it. Not many people tip the bouncers. And you two make your way back down the stairs, off to find a tavern or an inn to celebrate the evening. Back in Brood Awakening, Oak is up on a table.
Of course he is.
Boys night.
Swinging his shirt around. Hey, Kevlarin! Hey!
Yeah, Kevlarin. Oh, yeah, I'm right here.
I thought you couldn't hear me for a second there.
Nope, loud and clear.
What's next on the plan?
I don't know. I have something in mind, but I don't know if you've played it before or maybe it's called We Surely Haven't Done That. Maybe you're familiar.
I've heard of it. I surely never played it. So I got a drink. And he takes a big drink.
That's okay. So you know the rules.
Yeah, we're gonna have to like ask the questions and do the thing before it gets too wasted and falls and cracks his head open. Then I got like a health and safety thing, workers' compensation. I don't even know.
Yeah, you know what, Pinch? We've maybe overserved him a little bit here, so we'll try to get through this pretty quick.
Okay, hey, I'll help you down.
Thanks for that. He seats him at the table. How do you play Surely Never Wanted Done?
Well, first you ask a question which you surely haven't done.
I surely never been this drunk before. And he takes another drink. Just like that?
Oh, yeah. Well, all right, pretty quick on the draw there, Oak.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Surely I have never slept on a mountain peak.
Oh! So you drink if you did it or not did it?
You drink if you did it.
Oh, I never slept on a mountain peak and bench.
Yeah, I slept on the mountain peak, a drink. Yeah.
I mean, it was a lower level mountain for me, but yeah, same.
What was the name of the mountain?
It was Lich Mountain.
Lich Mountain. Whoa, you've been around, man. That's like on the other side of the way.
Oh, yeah. There was a few years where I was younger and I was traveling all over.
There were a few years where you were younger. Wow, that's a statement and a half. And he takes another drink.
Did you want to go next? Ask a question?
Oh, yeah, surely. We surely haven't filed an 842 when we were supposed to file a B-794. Surely haven't done that.
I mean, it's very work-specific.
I've never done that one. There's no paperwork.
I might have done it. If I don't know, do I still drink?
Sure, yeah, you can drink. Be part of the group.
I can't definitively say I haven't done those. So, yeah, sure, take a drink.
Great, now we've all done it. Okay.
I'll go now. I surely haven't double-crossed a companion. Anybody? Anybody drinking?
What do you mean a companion?
Like, you know, a friend, someone you adventure with, someone you just hang out with on a regular basis. Maybe a work acquaintance.
Oh, well, when you bring work into it, he takes a drink.
Oh, okay.
I may have, just isn't, surely haven't done that and explain in explicit detail, is it? Look, I ratted out the last guy for not filing the correct appropriate amendments to the raises in taxes, okay? Like, he was so against how much tax we charge in this town, and there's not even, like... He said something about, like, education isn't even, like, part of where the taxes go. It's like, yeah, the schools were closed before this mayor.
I mean, what do you mean you ratted him out? Did he do something wrong, or was he just bad at his job and you got him fired?
He was just terrible at his job. Like, he wouldn't stand for anything that we were doing. He kept trying to report back to Kingstown about all the things that the mayor does.
Well, like what, for instance?
Well, he didn't like how... Hold on. How much is he going to... He's going to tell a little bit.
He's dishing.
Okay. This is between you... this is between us, the guys' nights.
Oh, yeah.
Boys' nights.
Yeah, no problems.
Okay, so the mayor just loves money. And the only way... Because the mayor... doesn't work, so to speak, like really just takes advantage of the kind people in the city and how much money they have, and through taxation takes in all that money. Like, I think we're up to, with this latest increase, like a 75% taxation.
Oh, wow. And you don't feel like the appropriate amount of representation has been available?
Well, it's not really for me to say whether it's appropriate or not. It's more just the will of the king, will of the, what, I can't even remember what we call this guy. He runs the town.
Oh, well, that's the mayor.
And that's the mayor. The mayor does it. The king is fine. But the mayor, he taxes.
But wait, is the mayor telling people that the king has... demanded these funds?
Yeah, that's why people don't like Kingstown.
Oh, but okay.
They also don't let many people across the bridge. And if you've noticed, like, the bridge is like a really nice bridge.
Yeah, it's a nice bridge.
Yeah.
One of the best I've been on.
They stay on that side. And then the school really just teaches people how to make more money for the mayor.
Gotcha. Another question from Bench, maybe this time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I...
Maybe about expedited paperwork for tomorrow?
Oh, good call. Right now, I never have not given a drinking buddy his business back.
So, if I don't do that, then I have to drink. But if I give you your business back, then I don't have to drink.
That's right.
Oh, well, I'm getting pretty wasted.
Well, what do you say you don't drink, and we'll go grab some of that street meat, and then bright and early tomorrow morning, first thing, we will get this paperwork through for Bench.
That sounds like a great idea.
Make a persuasion with advantage. I think I'm
drunk. DM's
drunk.
Are you drunk? presses content drunk from playing Oak.
First roll, persuasion is a 17 with advantage. We're looking at a 10. So 17.
17. His insight is not great. Obviously.
Okay, street meet, and get you all set up with your business back up and running by the end of the day tomorrow. I could do that.
That's the spirit, Oak. We can do that.
I could do that.
Dream team over here.
Dream team, baby. All right, where's the meet? Aladdin, you are down at the bottom of the ladder. You're quiet and you're waiting. Tally is off a few feet and behind you. You heard the scattering feet of the children above. And then you hear some heavy footsteps coming into the warehouse. It's muffled voices, but does sound like the same voices of Kenny's people from yesterday. They hear them walking through, and then one of them calls out, and it's like, and then the footsteps are a little quicker paced, and they're walking over to where you are, and you hear loud footstep on top of the board above you. Get in the crate. Okay. Are you getting up in the crate too?
Yes, and I'm going to drag a lid with me.
Okay. The two of you hop inside. Are you hopping inside the same crate?
Yes.
Okay. Two of you hop inside one of the crates. It's filled with straw and some like old linens inside. You pull the crate on top of you when you hear the panel open and light begins to stream into this cellar. As you pull the crate lid on top. Dungeons and Dragons, Season 3, Episode 3. This episode starred Amy Moore as Aladdin, Carla Maxted as Bonwyn Everbane, Tom Laird as Kevlarin Goldweave, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Dialogue editing by Carla Maxted and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. Our amazing cover art and character designs are by Matt Garbutt. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Craig Zeiss, Barry Mady, Ongeron Kiersen, Old School Gamer D, L.A. Branton, Nathaniel Teeter, Luna, and Aaron. Another huge thank you to some patrons who provided some lovely pieces of the world today, including My Name is D, who gave us a saying for the world, Apes Nuts, and a little hint at a name that'll come up later in the show, but Kinney of Kinney's Men, who made an appearance in last week's episode, is a name that will be expanded upon in future episodes from Lawrence William Welsh Jr. Do you want to help us build out the world? Well, we're taking suggestions from patrons. You can do so at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And not only that, we've got a whole other podcast over there where we're having a blast. In fact, as I record this tonight, we're recording two more episodes of that one. So come on over. Listen to the adventures of. Join the community. It's going to be a great time. Before, after, during that, whenever. Did you know we have a newsletter? There's a link tree down in the description where you can sign up for our newsletter, get informed at the beginning of the month of what's coming up, what's coming your way. We've got a lot of things that we're very excited about and we want you to know. So sign up for that. Join us on Discord. Come join us on Patreon. Those are the three main ones. If you're doing any or all of those, we appreciate you. So thank you for listening. That's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed the fun. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon. I feel like I want to give Bench a different voice, because I just gave him like a, you're in here kind of voice.
We going for the often hilarious... big man, tiny voice.
Oh, that's good. Or like a classic kind of Arnie voice.
You can go with Arnie. Yes. He always sounds like he's man. Flexing. Yeah. 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 Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit of a strain.
Hi, guys. Kevlarin. It's good to see you. Oh, come on in. Yeah, this is better.
Absolutely.
We record our voice last time. We won't laugh at it until this time.
Dungeons and Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Meet Pia Casely, a journalist with a nose for a good story.
Do you know who the last person to interview Julie Capson was? Me.
Meet Brenda Bentley, a dogged detective with a case she can't let go.
Nobody came closer than I did, and that's why I was kicked off the force.
Together, they solve the cold cases no one else can.
That's when things got weird. And we haven't even gotten to the torso yet.
If they don't kill each other first, that is.
Well, you've got another thing coming.
You know, I think it's you got another thing coming.
Or perhaps there's something else between them.
Well, if the feeling's mutual,
call it a mutual feeling.
Arden, a podcast about crime, romance, and everything else. Season 1 and 2 now available. Brought to you by Wayface Industries. The good people.